from the ArmeniaProud.com studios.
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture. Only on the Lineup Media Group Podcast Network.
Genatsit Hayer, Parluis Inchpesek, it's January 29th. God, it's great to be back in the studio.
It is good to be back in the studio.
And, you know, I cannot wait to tell you, Chris, I got an Armenian Olympic team member here.
I've
always wanted an Armenian Olympic team member.
I love Olympic athletes in general.
Oh, they're so much in good shape. I mean, they're representing an entire country.
It's a big deal, man. I mean, you know, there's only a handful ever in the world.
Right, yeah. Right. And it took off from Greece back in the, I don't know, what, Olympic days or whatever,
that. Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah. Hey, but give a little props out to yesterday. It was January 28th. It was the Arms Day. And we put a little post on, and you know what? People took off on it. They loved it on our site. And that's what I really feel like, and that's how you guys feel like, too. We're proud of you guys out there in the Armenian military, troops who served and who's serving now. God bless all of you.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. And you know what? Hey, Amazon. I got to tell you about this, Chris. I bought a big bubble hockey thing.
Oh, nice. I love those games.
It's called the Power Play. It's a bubble hockey, and I went to Amazon. I went to Amazon, but I didn't go to just Amazon now.
No.
I went to ArmeniaProud.com, and then I scrolled down there. I went to Amazon box. I clicked that on there, and then I did my shopping. I looked around, and I seen this bubble hockey, and now it's in the mail. I can't wait for it.
I love it.
Hey, Chris, our guest this time around, I'm really excited about this one because, you know what, this is one of our Olympic people.
Wow.
Armenian Olympics. And not just Armenian Olympics. I mean, Olympics taking on the world.
Absolutely. This everywhere,
is really
exciting.
Yeah. And we got Hurri Gebeshyan on the phone with us here. And Hurri, glad to have you on board.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I mean, we are really excited to talk to you about the gymnastics, what it takes and all this stuff. So,
it's a hardcore sport.
Yeah, it really is. How did you get into this? Can you start off by telling us how did the Armenian team even get a hold of you for this, something like this?
Yeah, so it kind of is a crazy story. My mom really encouraged me to pursue competing for Armenia way back when, like when I was in high school and earlier on, and I was like, you know what? No, I'm not really good enough. Like, there's no way. And then my dad's friend was a part of the Armenian Olympic Committee, and he was like, you know what? I actually think you can do this. I'll set you up with the right people. I'll get you in contact with the team in Armenia. We'll see what they think of you, and we'll go from there. And so about 5 years ago, we started the process. I got in contact with them. I sent them my videos and kind of told them my story of, you know, I'm training here in the United States, but I would love to, you know, use my dual citizenship to contribute to the team, and they were interested, and here I am.
So what age did you start this anyway? I mean, not the Olympic progress or anything like that. As a child growing up, I mean, what age found you in gymnastics?
Yeah, so I started gymnastics when I was 5. I think that's pretty typical for a lot of girls, a lot of boys to start their gymnastics career, and then I pursued it all the way through high school, all the way through college, and interestingly enough, I'm still doing it. I'm 26 years old, and I'm still going, which is a little hard to believe for, one, a female gymnast to be doing it. So
what is the average age of these competitors in the world-class forum?
For women, it's usually around 15 or 16.
Wow.
The minimum age to compete in the Olympics or at the world scene in the senior division is 16. You have to turn 16 of the Olympic year. So I'm actually about 10 years older than the majority of girls I am competing against.
You got to be kidding.
Wow.
It. 15, 16 years old. How much pressure is on a 15, 16-year-old kid. I mean, that's a lot of pressure right there. I get nervous. I'm a little nervous talking to you right now about Olympics. And and you got these little kids. They're kids that are performing in front of the world for their nation.
Yeah, they are little kids, but, I mean, that's what we're trained to do. I mean, I was 15, 16 doing the same type of thing.
Wow.
And, you know, you're trained to do your routines. You're trained to be mentally tough. That's really what it is, to stay strong, stay focused. And these kids are amazing. And it really is a feat to be doing it at such a young age.
So how many hours do you put in a week on this?
I put in only about 20 hours. Mm-hmm. Compared to the girls I'm competing with, they're about 30 or 40 hours a week. I'm only about 20. So
what's your strongest event? I mean, there's got to be something that's your right up your alley, something that you really enjoy doing, that you're strong at.
Yeah, my favorite event is actually the balance beam. Everyone is always like, oh, my goodness, how is the balance beam your favorite? But
that's
I love it.
I was just thinking, wow, I can't balance my way in the hallway just much. This is a beam. How wide is this beam?
The beam, I think, is 6 inches wide.
Four feet high. Wow.
So it's pretty thin.
And you're doing flips and everything on this 6-inch wide beam.
Yep, flips, turns, dance, all sorts of stuff.
Unbelievable. So how did you get, okay, now you're training in United States, right?
Yes.
Do you ever go to Armenia to hook up with the team, and do you guys train together at all?
Unfortunately, I don't really get that opportunity. I mostly see them at the competitions that I meet them at. I have a full-time job, so it's hard for me to take off, one, for all these competitions. I take off, weeks at a time to go to these competitions and meet up with them. So it's a little bit hard to take off more time to do, like, training camps with them. I ideally would love to, but I mostly train here in the United States, send my videos, kind of get approval, get tips, kind of, like, things like that, and meet up with them at these big competitions, the European Championships, the World Championships, and hopefully here soon the Olympic Games.
So do you call in or anything like that, or send videos or Skypes of the coach in Armenia? Do you keep in touch with him at all, or her?
Yeah, so actually my personal Armenian coach, his name is Levon. He is actually based out of the United States as well, but it's a little bit complicated. So I live in Cleveland, Ohio. He lives in Boston, Massachusetts, and then everybody else in Armenia lives in Yerevan. So I mostly keep in contact with Levon, and he is in contact with the coaches over in Armenia, Hagop and Sos, and kind of the team there. So most of my contact is here in the United States. I send videos, I phone chat, I FaceTime with Levon, and he kind of relays the messages over to Armenia.
Right. You said you did this competitively in high school and college and so forth. Is there any one big happy moment you've had in gymnastics, one thing that's never left your mind about the sport?
Yeah, probably the highlight of the sport was in 2010 when I was in college. I was a Big Ten champion on the balance beam, so that was pretty awesome. I think coming up soon, hopefully, the new highlight will be competing at the Olympic Games.
And what college was that?
I competed at the University of Iowa.
Iowa, Big Ten team, huh? So
yeah,
you got the showcase. I mean, that's really big time playing against the SEC teams and all that. I've seen. Now I've watched a little bit of this. They take this stuff very seriously over there. So it's amazing.
Definitely.
Yeah. You got to. I guess at one time too, you carried the Armenian flag.
Yes, that was
how beautiful
huge.
Was that?
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, oh my gosh. At the World Championships, I had the honor of carrying that flag. That was amazing. I had so many emotions flowing through my body.
How proud were you?
I was so proud to be Armenian at that time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Carrying that flag, having a huge smile on my face, and it was an amazing, amazing experience.
That's great. How many how many athletes will be going to the next Olympics? I'm not just talking about the gymnastics, but how many Armenian athletes will be walking with you guys carrying the flag? I mean, I'm telling you right now, Hori, that is so exciting, and I get my hair to stand up seeing you guys walking like that with the whole team.
Yeah. You know, I'm not quite sure how many actual athletes there will be. I know, you know, we're pretty strong in wrestling. We're pretty strong in weightlifting. We're strong here in gymnastics. Hopefully we'll have three here from the gymnastics team. But I'm not sure total how many Armenians will be out there. But hopefully we get a good bunch, because it'd be great kind of having a whole team out there walking out with that flag.
Yeah, definitely. How many gymnastic members are on the team?
So there's just one female, me. Mm-hmm. And right now there are six men. Three of them are seniors. They've been the main competitors, Artur, Bahag, and Harut. And then there's three younger ones coming up, just starting to kind of get their feet wet and just joining the senior scene this year. Their names are Vigen, Armen, and another Artur. So total, there's seven of us. I'm sure there's more to come, and I'm hoping to get some more female athletes as well here on the gymnastics team. But total seven here.
You know, I have a friend. His daughter is a gymnast, and he told me that she's a grade 9. I don't know the significance of that. Is that a competitive level right there?
Yeah, so the way that it works here in the United States, it goes by levels. It goes from level 1 to level 10. And then after level 10, you start competing in the elite level, quote-unquote, and that is in the international, kind of like what we're competing in now. So she's pretty close. She has one more level to go here, and then she hits the international scene. So.
Well, that's great. She's Armenian, and they're coming over Saturday at my house for dinner, and I may have them give you a call just to talk to you, maybe inspire her a little bit as well.
Yeah, definitely. She'll be the next one of kind of following my footsteps. That'd be ideal.
That's beautiful. Now, you know what? It's a little bit different. I played football, and a lot of people out there played soccer or whatever. And it's a little different on the scoring and so forth, because you have – it's not just your merit. You got to depend on a judge to sit there and watch your work too. How different is it in that aspect compared to – you know, you score a goal or you cross that football over the line, it's a score. They can't take that away. But in your case, you kind of depend on 5 to 6 or 8 judges to give you a good score. That's got to be a little different.
Right. So it is very subjective. We do depend on what the judges think, like how well we did. So, you know, it is up in the air. At these bigger meets, we have a panel of 16 judges or something along those lines. So ideally they'll score you somewhere in the same range and it gets averaged, and that's the best way that they can make it fair. But really it is subjective. You're dependent on how they think that you did. And you always have the option of appealing the score if you think that they scored you poorly.
How do you do that?
Or wrong.
How do you do that?
Yeah, so there's a whole process. You have like a very short amount of time once your score is flashed to go up, to go to the panel of judges and say, you know what, I want to dispute this score. And you actually have to pay money now. You have to have, I think it's like $100 or I'm not quite sure how much money it is, but it's cash money that you give to them and you say, I want to dispute this score. And they say, okay, we'll review it. And they go back, they look at the routine, they, you know, mark down on their papers the entire routine that you did and what they took off, and if there's something they missed or they miscalculated or whatnot, then they'll adjust the score and you get your $100 back or however much money it is.
If they
say, you know what, no, we're right. This is the score that we want. They keep your money, and then the score stays the same.
I kind of see it leaning towards that more or less, though.
Yeah. So it is a little bit, you know, you're waiting to see what the judges tell you. You're always trying to impress them. You know, on the women's side, you know, you do your hair, you do your makeup, you have these beautiful leotards, hoping that, you know, you'll catch their eye in some way, which isn't really what the sport is about. The sport is about just doing your gymnastics and doing it well.
Right.
But anything you can do to kind of help yourself out.
Who is the one team out there right now that you would say you got your work cut out, or they're really looking primed and ready to go?
That is definitely the United States. They have pretty much dominated the past couple of years in gymnastics, at least on the women's side. They have a powerhouse of athletes. Their A team, B team, and C team are phenomenal. So they're the team to watch if you're looking for who's going to win the Olympics.
That's great too. All right. And what time or what's the time frame on you going there, or you're getting ready? What's the time schedule look like for you? What month or whenever are you're headed over there?
For the Olympics?
Yes.
Yeah, so I still actually have one more competition to compete at in order to qualify into the Olympics. And that will be in April, and it's called the Olympic Test Event. I will be going there as well as one of our other Armenian all-arounders, Artur Davitian. So we will be going in April, competing at the Olympic Test Event, and then hopefully from there we'll qualify on to the Olympics, which will be this August.
Wait a minute. I thought that every country just sends a player or something. So you got to compete in that as well just to get into the Olympics.
Yep. It all starts out at the World Championships. So we all competed at the World Championships this past year in 2015. And the top eight teams qualify onto the Olympics. And then people that place first, second, or third on their event. So we actually had one guy, Harut, our pommel horse guy. He placed third on the pommel horse, so he automatically got a bid into the Olympics. But everybody else has to compete at the Olympic test event who qualified in. So luckily, myself, and Artur qualified to the Olympic test event. And then we have one more step, kind of one more place that we have to prove ourselves that, you know, we're worthy of being Olympians.
Wow. That's great. I mean, we are cheering for you, all our fans out there. I can't tell you, we're all going to be pulling for you and the rest of the team there. That's exciting.
Thank you.
And, well, you know what, Huri? We'd like to give a big shout out to you and the team. And you know what? Good luck with everything. And we'll stay in touch. Definitely let us know if when and where you're headed. And we'll keep in touch with you as well.
That sounds great. Thank you so much. And if you don't mind, I'd love to tell the listeners to follow me personally. I have my own Facebook page.
Oh, please.
It's Huri Gebeshyan, Armenian gymnast. I have a YouTube page. It's Huri Gebeshyan. Instagram, same thing. First and last name, Huri Gebeshyan. And same with Twitter, Huri Gebeshyan. So
excellent.
Please
awesome.
Follow me out there.
Yeah, we will actually add all of that in the show description. So anyone who hears the show will be able to find all your stuff there and on all of our social media as well.
Perfect.
You can't
Great.
Beat that. You can't beat that, Huri. We're on top of it here. You know what, Chris? It was great having her on, man.
It was.
I mean, I wish her the best of luck. This is going to be great, and I hope she keeps in touch with us to tell us how everything's going. You know, just anyone competing for their nation, that to me is
well, and
great.
That's, you know, that's what I was going to say. Anyone who's in the Olympics, man, I mean, that's like the best athletes in the world. You
best
know?
Athletes in the world.
It's hard to even, you know, wrap your head around, really.
And when she mentioned like 15, 16-year-old, they're kids.
It is.
They're kids. I would want to see everyone her age.
Yep.
That's, you know what, they're more focused and so forth. 15, 16, even younger than that. I mean, and they're in front of the entire world.
Yeah, it's unreal.
So God bless all of them, I
yep.
guess. Anyway, hey, I got a big shout out here, my friends. My friends at Pacific Dental Care Cosmetics. Yeah, they also work on cosmetics.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? Anyway, great people over there. Marina Martirosyan. She runs the whole show over there, and you know what? You couldn't find a more caring, understanding person than her in her profession. I mean, this gal, she really takes care of you. I'm telling you, Chris, for real, if I got a problem with my teeth, I go to L.A. I live in St. Louis. I'm here with you, man, and I go all the way out to L.A. just to get my teeth worked
out. Absolutely.
Because I trust them. I trust them. I live here, but you know what? I go out to L.A. Give them a call at 818-547-4949. They're in Glen Oaks, in Glendale area. You can find them on Facebook as well, Pacific Dental Care / Cosmetic and General Dentistry. How about that? I'm sure they'll appreciate it. And if you got any problems with your teeth or cosmetics, something like that, give them a call, my friends. You'll definitely appreciate it. And you know what, Chris? We got a lot of people still downloading the GoCore Chivichian.
Absolutely. Oh, a lot of people, yeah.
I mean,
that was a great episode.
And they're also checking out our MMA shows.
Yeah, absolutely.
When they're on our podcast, yeah. They're checking out. They're finding this MMA show. It's called Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy. You guys know John McCarthy.
He's a legend, yeah.
Let's get it on. I mean, he's that big-time referee. If he said that to me, I think I'd run. I'd run the other way.
Yeah, all right. All of a sudden, I'd feel compelled to start hitting someone.
Yeah. Well, we've got a little clip of their show. And I'd love for you guys just to hear it, enjoy it a little bit, give you a little taste of it. But you could definitely find it on Let's Get It On podcast.com. You can't go wrong with it. Enjoy it.
Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock.
I don't know who the guy is with the button that's giving credit for significant strikes, but I'm going to tell you right now, he's an idiot. I went back and watched that fight multiple times. In the third round, Carlos threw approximately 80 strikes, while Robbie Lawler threw about 25. But it doesn't matter if you're throwing 80 when 75 to 80% of them missed. Hit glove, hit arm, missed completely. You don't get credit for that. That's nothing.
Let's Get It On, only on the Lineup Media Group.
Previously on Toast to Armenia, do you ever think, man, if this UFC was around in my time, what could have I have done?
Oh, no. My time was the UFC too. What happened is 1988, I introduced the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu to the United States. But we have a tournament, big tournament, the international. So they want to do the demonstration, and then demonstration end up to fighting. So I end up fighting one of the world champion jiu-jitsu, and I beat him.
Hey, folks, check out our past episodes at ArmeniaProud.com or go to iTunes or Stitcher. You can't go wrong. Chris, our next segment, how can we forget Mariam, our recipe gal that comes on every week and gives us a great stuff to make and eat. Mariam, what do you got for us?
Hi, guys. I have the soup today. It's gonna be soup, and it's going to be dried bean soup.
Dried bean soup.
And this is vegan, no meat.
And this is healthy for you, obviously.
Yes, it's very, very healthy. There's no meat in it, and not because meat is not healthy, but this one is vegan, and so it's all vegetables and dried beans.
Mariam, I can't believe you said that about meat. I took my hat off when you said that.
No. I like meat.
Yeah, okay. Let's hear about this.
No, but you're going to like this one.
Okay, I'm excited. Go ahead.
All right, but before I give the recipe, I just want you to know how great that actually the dried beans are for you. It's carbohydrates and protein all combined together. That's why I said it's meatless, because it already has the protein in the beans.
So what is it on calories, too? Is it a lot on calories?
It's very low in calories. Very, very low in calories.
You can't beat that. This is the stuff that Ahuri needs.
For the Olympics.
For the Olympics. For our Olympic hopefuls.
Yeah, and actually, athletes, you eat this a lot because it has such a low glycemic index, which means, you know, it's low in sugar and keeps your body digest it very slowly. So if they have to work out for a long period of time, this is like an fuel for their engine. So it keeps them going.
You see, this is what I'm talking about, Huri. This is the type of stuff that our people here, Mariam, is getting ready for you. Okay, all right, give it to us, Mariam.
All right, so I actually made it last night, and I made it with white dried beans, but in my book, the recipe is with red kidney beans, so I'll give you that recipe. It's 2 to 3 cups of red dried beans, you know, a couple of tablespoons of olive oil, 3 to 4 cloves of garlic, and 1 teaspoon or a tablespoon paprika because it needs to be smoky flavor. 4 ounces of tomato paste, or you can just use like a big tablespoon of tomato paste and a big tablespoon of pepper paste. 1 large carrot or 2 medium carrots, 4 ounces, like I said, red pepper paste, 1 or 2 sticks of celery. You can put onion if you want. It's optional. Salt, black pepper.
You got to have onions.
And then add water.
You got to have onions.
You got to have onions. Okay. Yeah, you mean you can't go wrong with onions.
No.
You can definitely add onions.
Yeah.
I do that too. So, and then...
You put this all in a pot?
Well, the steps are you have to boil the beans first. Oh, well, you soak them overnight in a cold water.
Mm-hmm.
And then you drain it and you put water in it, cold water. And then you boil it until it's tender. The beans are tender. And then you set it aside. And then in a separate pot, you kind of saute your onions, your garlic, your chopped carrots and celery. And then I like to add herb there, which is cilantro. That's my favorite. And then all of that, once it's cooked, you put the beans together and you add the water and let it boil and then simmer. And then you add the spices.
Wow. Wow. Nice. Sounds great. One quick question, though. When you're boiling these beans, how long does that take for that to soften up, for you to just put it aside?
You know, it all depends. Like last night I was making with the white beans, like kidney beans, and it took me like an hour.
An hour. So it's a good hour. Okay,
yeah.
Then. All right.
So longer you soak it, less you're going to cook it, because when you soak it, it kind of becomes softer.
Well, I'm definitely going to try this one.
Better.
So how long do you put everything together and let it simmer?
You bring it to a boil, and then it simmers for an hour or so.
Okay.
I mentioned this before. I like to add, I know turmeric is really not Armenian. It's such an ancient spice, and it was used for medicinal purposes, and God knows maybe Armenians use it too. It's Indian spice. And I love adding that to it. It kind of brightens up the color. It gives that orange kind of red color.
And that's Indian spice?
So, that's an Indian spice. It's called turmeric. And
okay.
It's very good for you.
Okay. I'll look that up. I could probably find that at some global market, so it won't be that difficult.
You can find it in all Middle Eastern. You can definitely find it in your local store, too. I'm not sure if you guys...
Yeah, you're in L.A. We can't find anything like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're in L.A. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
We eat hot dogs and hamburgers and stuff like that. I'm Garcia in Coast. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a melting pot here. You guys have to visit it here.
Oh, yeah. We love L.A.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay, so that sounds great then. That's our recipe for our athletes out there and people like me that want to lose a couple pounds, and I'm sure this will taste great.
It actually does taste great, believe me. And the thing is, if you have one bowl of it, it makes you feel so full. It makes you feel like you just had like a meat, you know, something with meat.
Yeah, you ate
That's
some.
That's the beauty of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I may throw in some mushrooms with that too.
You love mushrooms, don't you?
I do love mushrooms.
He's a big mushroom fan.
I'm a mushroom fan. Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if you can go wrong with that.
No.
But yeah, you should.
No, there's no way you can go wrong with mushrooms. All right, folks, you can catch Mariam. You can catch her. What's your site again, Mariam? Give it to them.
It's cooking with my Armenian family. I just made a video last night for you guys, and I told them to, you know, tune into podcast, and they can definitely check me out on my Cooking with my Armenian Family page.
Awesome.
And this recipe is also in my book, Cooking with my Armenian Family.
And you know what? We'll share that on our site too, Maria, on our Post to Armenia. All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank take you, care, Maria. You know what, Chris? Every time Mariam comes up with a nice recipe, I try it.
Always with mushrooms, though.
Yeah. And another person that always comes on our show, well, you know what? I try to do what she says, too. But you know what? She got me to throw all my clothes away last time. And Ani, glad to have you on board.
Hi.
How you doing?
Glad you're trying out all this new things.
You got that right.
Anyway. You got a lot of powerful women on your show. I heard
We just had Hurdy on there, and then Mariam gave out a nice bean recipe, all vegetables. She said no meat this time. And
woo-hoo!
Can you believe that? Anyway, you had some video on there that we'll talk about that some other time.
Your comment was really funny, by the way. I just couldn't stop laughing, but I couldn't post anything.
Right. Anyway, Ani, what do you got for us this week? What's our mental stage now?
I really wanted to talk about something very peculiar but cool. It's the stones of Armenia and how they can be used for healing and cleansing, and the presence of these powerful stones that we have here.
Sounds
basically
mystic.
It is. And I'll tie it into the big monuments we have here, and I think you guys are really going to like this. But I wanted to talk about, I use crystals in Reiki with my patients if I feel like they need to, or after a few sessions, because they are pure energy, crystals and stones and rocks, putting it out there like that. They emit magnetic energy, and they vibrate very strong frequencies, and it can be measured, and it has been scientifically for all kinds of studies. They could be like little battery charges to your energy points in your body. And what I like to do is I have a collection of crystals, actually, and I'll get into what kinds of crystals. But if anyone likes to collect rocks and they feel energy from them, go ahead and put them under the full moonlight every month, and they can recharge that way. And each stone has like its own healing property, and I'll get into that.
Ani, you're saying that every stone has some sort of energy?
Yeah, well, everything has energy, but stones in particular, they are compressed energy, and a lot of them omit magnetic energy in that way, too.
Wow.
And so
that's some deep
basically
stuff.
It is, and you have to think about what stones are around you and how they affect you. So basically, Armenia in particular is really interesting geographic locations, because even though we're a small country, each region looks completely different from the next. And it's really interesting. It was very mountainous. And then sometimes the mountains are dry, sometimes they're very green, depends on which region. And so we have a lot of varieties of stones within this tiny country. And they're massive too, which is really great for healing purposes. I always talk about Karahunj because it's my favorite place, I think. The old ancient observatory, it's the oldest Stonehenge in the world. Those are basalt stones. And I'll get into what basalt stones mean. But have you both been to Armenia?
Yes.
I have not.
Yes, I have. My in-laws live there.
Oh, wonderful. So don't you think that the monasteries in the mountains have such a wild and strong energy presence when you walk in, right?
For sure on that, but I drank the water and I was laid out for 2 weeks. I was sick.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that water, that spring, little innocent-looking water that comes out of that.
Yeah,
I drank that, and 2 weeks I didn't move out of that bed.
Well, they say when you first go somewhere new, you should try to drink boiled water only or bottled water and then slowly get into. But I wanted to talk about these monuments in the mountains. So whether people are religious or not, I don't think it really applies because these monasteries do emit a lot of energy, whether you're alone in there, whether you're attending a certain ceremony or ritual. It's because our ancients knew exactly where in the mountains had really high energy zones. And they built these monuments to harness the zone. And when you're in the building made of stone, of course, you feel it. So it traps the energy there and you feel it.
Wow. Well, so we're trapping. We got to trap them trapping me in there. Someone's trapping someone in there.
Yeah.
So
the main monuments, not all of them, but most of them are made from basalt. And basalt is basically found almost anywhere. And it's volcanic rock formed into molten lava. And it's it came from molten lava. And it's highly magnetic. It's always consistently going under transformation. And for healing purposes, we use the stone when someone's going through major changes in their life, even placing it in their home. If they're small, you can place them on the body. Like a lot of massage therapists, when they're using hot stones, they're always using basalt polished stones because they suck negative energy out of the body.
Wow.
So it's really interesting. Yeah. Whether they know it or not, well, which I'm sure most of them do, but it actually has those kinds of properties. And it's a really interesting stone to work with because if you think about it, if all these monumental structures are made from basalt and you know they're sucking out negative energy.
So what do I do? Just go in there and hug one of these statues? And
you could totally. Well, it's funny you mentioned statues because in ancient Egypt, they used to make statues out of basalt into their ideals of worship, those people, and then they would pour water on the statue and they would drink the water to try to take the properties of the person that the statue was from. But so a lot of statues are made from basalt. Yeah, they do have a lot of healing energy.
I'm sure that,
what it does, yeah, it absorbs because it's magnetic and it's comes from heat. It absorbs the heat from your body, the tension, you know?
Right, right. That type of That's very interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah. And a lot of people come to me because they want to get rid of negative energy in their home. And the number one thing I prescribe, besides frankincense and examining the home if I'm not there, is obsidian. You can find obsidian all over Armenia, especially around Lake Sev on the mountain. It's a black, really, really shiny stone.
I've seen that. I've seen that on the sides when I'm driving. They look like black diamonds. It's unbelievable in Armenia.
It is. And you know what? It's actually natural glass formed out of volcanic and submersion water. Yeah, so some of it is actually clear. Some of it's green, blue, but most of it is black. And they call it here Satanai Yerung, which means
the devil's nails.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's creepy.
That is a little creepy.
It sounds creepy and it scared a lot of people, but it's actually taken that name because when they were doing archaeological digs or when they would find bodies under the ground, they would find tools with arrow tips made from obsidian. So it's not necessarily a bad stone. It just has a bad reputation because, you know, it's very sharp and they used it for weaponry back in the day.
Right.
But it's a protection stone. So what I do, I tell people to go collect these or they can find them all over Armenia. And you put them on the corners of your home and you set the intent. And that also sucks negative energy out and it literally erases it, which is really amazing. And how I talked about the chakras before, since it's black, what it does, it's concerned with your root chakra, the earth chakra, and it lets the other ones shine. So it helps balance. Because it's dark, the other ones shine brighter.
Well,
so it's a very balancing.
You know what? Our athletes can always use this. Our athletes that are in the Olympics and so forth, they could put these in each corner of the room, get some real positive vibes in them and energy, and
totally.
And off they go. So that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say our listeners can find all this information on your site too, right? Energy Healing
yes.
Armenia.
Yes, absolutely. I tried to put tips on how to do these self-healing, cleansing types of things, which, you know, really, if as long as you set the intent, it'll happen. And another right. wonderful thing, we have a lot of amethyst, which is a form of quartz. We have jasper, and it's all found in the mountains, and it's really, really cool. In Reiki, we use a lot of quartz crystal, which is a very, very cleansing and eye-opening type of stone.
Right.
And when you know, obviously, in a prism, it shines out all the colors, so it balances all chakras. But you have different stones for different chakra balancing, and some stones balance a bunch of chakras at once, like the agate stone. Basically, depending on the colors that are in the stone, help with the certain chakras. So agate is really known for people that are going through major depression. It's a really, really uplifting stone. And interesting fact about agate is spiders hate it. So if you have a spider problem in your house, get an agate stone and they will go away. It's really crazy. They hate the frequency of agate.
I thought you throw this agate at it and, and hopefully it squashes.
Well, I wanted to mention, I'm actually part of this other project I want to talk about. It's really, really cool. For all of those that know Tigran Hamasyan, I'm sure you guys are really big fans. He's like this jazz prodigy star of Armenia. He is on this tour called Luis y Luiso.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what him and the Yerevan State Choir did was they dug up ancient manuscripts from Matana Daran in Armenia, which is the archive of all the old scriptures that were kept. And they went into the Matana Daran. They took photos of these old songbooks. And it was really hard to decipher because the ancient writing had different notations on it and indicated which word needed, what kind of pitch it had to have, how long the word had to be carried out in the song. And each book was from a different region. So each one had its own style of sounds and ways of describing. So anyways, they made an album recreating the old sounds in a new way where he plays the piano and he has the choir sing, and it's a very, very magical album and experience. So what they did was they traveled all over Western Armenia and old ancient monasteries, which is now Turkey, and some churches in Armenia, and they sang these old songs on these grounds.
And where can our listeners find this?
Let me get into...
Is it a website or anything that you can put
up?
Yeah,
it's... Yes, I'll put up a website.
And then we'll put it on our site, too.
Yes, it'll be in the show description on our site everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. My two filmmaker friends documented the experience, the tour through Western Armenia, and they created a sound light projection installation. So if you attended this installation, you would see the whole experience and hear it, and you get nature sounds, you get sounds of the songs, and you could see the old churches. And it's really interesting because they did it at the perfect time, because now Turkey's in such conflict and turmoil
right.
I'm really happy that they got the footage while they could. It's called Luis y Luiso installation. So it's Luis space I space Luso and then the word installation. I just put up the Facebook page. I'm really happy to be working on this PR campaign to get this installation in other cities around the world. So if anyone's interested in inviting this installation in their city and can get a good crowd to come and experience this beautiful thing, please, you can even email me on my regular email.
Okay. All right. Well, that's beautiful. That's beautiful, Ani.
I'll definitely share it with you guys.
We'll catch up with you next week, and maybe you can give us some more info on all this stuff as well. You know what, Chris? Everything she brings up about rocks and stuff in Armenia, that stuff is so interesting, man. And you know what? You could definitely find stuff, information. You don't even need a book. You could go to audibletrial.com/Armenia.
Yep.
And they got so many stuff that's about history and so forth. Over 180,000 titles.
Yeah, there's a lot of Armenia-specific stuff on there.
And you know what? It's not just about genocide. I know we want to hear about that, but there's a lot of creativity, culture, and so forth about Armenia and other races as well and other nationalities. And
just about everything you can think
and
about.
And if you need any rocks and so forth, any information on that type of stuff that Ani's talking about, you could find it and you could play it in your car and on your way to work, on your way back or whatever. audibletrial.com/Armenia. You can't go wrong, my friends.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, I think, Chris, that'll do our show for this week, my man.
It's been a good one, man.
Yeah, got a lot covered. Yep. All right, my friends, Genatsit Kisher Party, and we'll see you next week.
Tune in next week for another episode of
Genatsit Hayer,
A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabenjian. You can find the show online at armeniaproud.com or download and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Plus, join the conversation on social media at facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or at ArmeniaProud on Twitter. Get all of the Lineup Media Group shows at lineupmediagroup.com. Oh.